Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 8th episode of the Sfarim Chatter Shabbos Feast series. On this episode of the podcast, I spoke with Professor Boaz Huss, and we discussed the Sabbatian origins and connections to Tu B'Shvat. This episode is coming at this part in the series because it's being published a few days before Tu B'Shvat. Once again, I would like to thank the corporate sponsor of the series, Gluck Plumbing, for all your service needs, big or small, in New Jersey, with a full-service division from boiler changeouts, main sewer line snakeouts, cammering main lines, to a simple faucet leak. Gluck Plumbing Service Division has you covered. Give them a call, 732-523-1836, extension 1. That's 732-523-1836, extension 1. And as always, if anyone has any comments or questions, or just any feedback about this series or any episode, or to support the show or to sponsor an episode, please email me, sfarimchatter@gmail.com. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Sfarim Chatter podcast. On this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be joined by Professor Boaz Huss, who is professor at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev, and we'll be discussing the Sabbatian origins of Tu B'Shvat. This is based on an article that he wrote originally, I think, in 2005, and more recently reworked revised article came out in the Sefer Zikaron for Professor Meir Benio about a year ago and change. So thank you, Professor Huss, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start off. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background.
I was born in Jerusalem, raised in Jerusalem, studied all my academic degrees in Jerusalem, Department of Jewish Thought. And then I started teaching at Ben-Gurion University many, many years ago. I'm still there. My research is mostly history of Kabbalah. I worked on my PhD on Ketem Paz, the Zohar commentary of Shimon Levi. I wrote a book on the reception. I worked a lot on the reception history of the Zohar. Recent years, I'm more interested in modern adaptations of Kabbalah, Jewish as well as non-Jewish, history of Kabbalah research, and other stuff.
Okay, right. So this is, like you said, this is a little bit outside, obviously it's related, but outside the norm of what you generally research. So first of all, how did you come to write this article, come to research this topic?
How did I come to research? I think I identified while reading an article by Fenton, a poem, a Sabbatianist poem for Tu B'Shvat, which I recalled that was published previously by Sholem and Atias and Ben Zvi, without mentioning that it is a song for Tu B'Shvat. And then it just raised my curiosity and started looking into it, and well, that's it. So,
okay, so let's start off with the origins of Tu B'Shvat. Obviously, I'm sure the listeners know it's mentioned in the Mishnah, in Rosh Hashanah, and so first, where are the origins of Tu B'Shvat and the basic sources that we just about mention of it being Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos? Where do we get that at all?
Yeah, so actually very few until the 18th century. So, of course, the Mishnah, and then this. There are two poems written for Tu B'Shvat in the Gaonic period by a Palestinian Paitan, Yehuda ben Hillel Halevi. Of course, the fact that it's mentioned in several sources, halachic sources, forbidden to fast on Tu B'Shvat. And then in the 16th and 17th centuries, a few more mentions that it's a holiday for school children. It's mentioned in one place that food were eaten on the day, and then a few, very few Kabbalistic references, but just, you know, identifying the Ilan as Tiferet by the Rama Mifano. There's one a Kabbalistic poem by Yedidia Karmi with some Kabbalistic allusions. And more or less, that's it, at least what I found.
But interestingly,
until the 18th century.
Right. And interestingly, as you know, in an article, the Zohar makes no mention, and Arizal also, there's no mention of it, right?
No mention at all. No. Nothing.
Right. You have an interesting, I saw in a photo.
So here I become suspicious. That's where my yeah.
Right. Now, you have an interesting quote. You quote from Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern, about why it's not mentioned. He does. I don't know if you want to say what he says. Why he says why it's not mentioned there.
What did he say? Yeah, that's nice, because he mentions that one of the students asked how come Chaim Vital didn't write about eating fruits in Tu B'Shvat, and he says, well, Tu B'Shvat is parallel to Yesod. That will repeat later in other sources. It's Chaim, okay, Sfirat Yesod, it's Ilan, Yesod, comes together. So then he says, Midat Yesod is a hidden thing. So you don't speak about it at all. So that's maybe that's a proof that Hari knew about it, but he just didn't talk about it because it was so. Yeah.
Right. Okay, but I guess, like you said, basically it's not in the Zohar and it's not in Arizal. So where is the first source? Where do we first see it that suddenly there's a discussion of Tu B'Shvat, which you mentioned for the listeners also, Tu B'Shvat, as, like we said, is in the Mishnah, but just that it became today, this whole holiday, eating different fruits, and there's Tfilas Piyutim, the whole thing.
Yeah, and a real ceremony, because before that we don't, apart from eating, that's not, you know, but the real, you know, order of Tu B'Shvat, some kind of practices. So the first is the mention it's citation of a passage written by Moshe Chagiz. And it's in a book, it's published in a book in Birkat Eliyahu, published in 1728. So that's the first mention. And there, it's a citation, said Rabbi Moshe ben Yaakov Chagiz. And then there's interesting, he says, I follow the conduct of my teachers and of my grandfather, who used to make many blessings for the fruits of the tree on Tu B'Shvat, and to pray to God, blessed be his name, that he will commence a good year for us and for the fruits. And then he says that they used to eat 15 types of fruits, and he explains the custom of eating 15 types of kinds of fruit against parallel. He says 5 eaten with skin, 5 eaten with seeds, and 5 without skin, and each type symbolizing one of the three worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya. Okay, so this is the first reference for a seder. By the way, he says, I have found in the name of the Ari that he used to follow this conduct, but he doesn't mention where. And he says before that the custom that he describes is that of his teachers and of his grandfather, Moshe Galanti. His grandfather, an important figure. That's important that Moshe Galanti is the, according to that. Rabbi of Jerusalem, Rishon LeZion, the first Rishon LeZion, I think. So, that's what we have, the first mention. And at the same time, and I'm sure we'll discuss this later, more or less the same time, there's a mention much more elaborate in Chemdat Yamin, in Sefer Chemdat Yamin. Later, you didn't ask, but shall I say later, there are printing of Seder Tu B'Shvat, sometimes under the title Pri Etz Hadar, all of them based on the Seder of Chemdat Yamin. And that's it, and then it becomes more popular, and then, a later stage is, of course, the Zionist adaptation, and it becomes we know exactly when it started. That's an experience that every Israeli child has to undergo, sometimes to suffer. I remember the rain, and you have these trees and the mud, and you plant trees, and it becomes a new kind of Israeli celebration. I think for American, less familiar with that part of it. And another, I think it's interesting, that's recent years, but that's, you know, this kind of ecological new age. It's very popular in Israel. I don't know if in the States, this kind of a bit new age ecological Seder Tu B'Shvat. But again, based on the more or less based on Chemdat Yamin.
Yeah, I mean, in the States already, last week was in the grocery, the stores have many, 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 many types of fruit special for Tu B'Shvat. There are, a lot of shuls, the Fatim Midrash, there are events, I'm sure. There's lot. So interesting, like you're saying, so it basically comes from the 18th century that you really found the first main sources. I mean, also perhaps before we get a little bit more into how it connects to Sabbateanism, Shabtaut, perhaps you want to discuss also, like, what does Chemdas Yamim say? What does he explain a little bit, the Seder of Tu B'Shvat that he outlawed, that he, whoever the author was, outlines? Yes.
Okay, so that's quite elaborate. Okay, so he first introduces, and the introduction is very interesting, so I'll read it. Okay, I have the translation, and excuse my poor English translation. It is a good custom for those who live without blame to eat many fruits in this day and say blessings and songs over them, as I established for my companions. And even if this custom is not mentioned in the writing of the rabbi, of Ari, it is nonetheless a wonderful tikkun in the revealed and hidden realms. Okay, so he says, the author, we don't know who he was, that he established it, and he says it wasn't mentioned in Ari. Now, the context is a tikkun. And that's clear. It's also by the Purites in Yemei Shuvavim, Tikkun Shuvavim. So it's a tikkun for Shvichat Zera Lebatala. Well, that's at least the context. And he says that with this tikkun, one can correct the distortion and the blemish of the Pgama Brit, etc., etc., etc. And then after he explains it. Maybe I'll mention again. Then he says that if one performs this tikkun, or as one performs this tikkun to the seed-bearing tree, le'etz pri, he will heal the harm he had done to the righteous one, tzaddik, who bears seed. And then he describes the ceremony, which is very elaborate. It begins with recitations of passages from the Bible concerning trees and fruits. It begins with the creation of fruit trees, afterwards recitations of Zohar passages relating to trees and fruits, and then a special Kabbalistic prayer written by the author with a very strong messianic message. So maybe later we'll go to that. I have the citation, and I think that's important because I'm sure you will ask me, why do I think it's Sabbateanist? So I think this is actually a passage. So we wait for that. We'll have that. And then starts after the prayer starts the fruit eating ritual, and they start with cake made from wheat, and later dates, grapes, figs, etc. Again, reciting the Zohar, meditations, kavanot on God's names. And then, of course, the most popular is the drinking of the four cups of wine with Kabbalistic, or red, white, with Kabbalistic symbolism to that, din and chesed. And that's it. That's it, more or less, the ceremony. It takes a few pages, I think, in Chemdat Yamim.
Okay, so I realized something else. We should jump back just quickly. When you mentioned the thing with the Ramesh HaGiz, we forgot that he was quoting, I think, Chesed Lavram, right? To Avram Azulay about the 30, the 15, but that wasn't the 15 different types of fruits, but that wasn't with the how you eat them with the shell, without, with the seeds. Yeah. That is not, but that, just to clarify, that maybe you want to explain what the Avram Azulay says, but that is not, he didn't say that about Tu B'Shvat. He just said that in general.
Exactly. So there are 30 types of fruits, and the symbolism of fruit, and again, parallel to the different Kabbalistic worlds, but without, I think sometimes people mention that as a proof of earlier origin of Tu B'Shvat, but he doesn't mention Tu B'Shvat. Maybe he thought of Tu B'Shvat, but he doesn't mention it there. So definitely this is one of the sources, and Chemdat Yamim uses many sources. It's kind of anthology, so of course it's not surprising that this comes up there.
Okay, so now we'll get to, like you said, the Sabbatean origin. So Chemdat Yamim, obviously there is questionable issue of is it Sabbatean or not. Is that merely why you think it's Sabbatean? Where do you, or there are other Sabbatean sources about Tu B'Shvat?
Okay, so first of all, for me, I think from, I don't know, experience, or so a new custom beginning in the early 18th century. So immediately, I think, and many times that's... I won't get, I'm not an expert on Chemdat Yamim, but I think maybe the authority I don't know if the listeners will be convinced by Sholem and Tishbe and others, but Emden, Yaakov Emden, a nice citation, you know, he says, I looked at it, you know, when he was introduced to Chemdat Yamim, which was published in early 18th century for the first time. I have somewhere here, I don't remember, but I think 1712 or something like that. And then Emden looks at it and he says, I looked at it for a very short, for a short hour, you know, very short period. And I turned back to my back because I knew immediately what it's all about. And Shemetz Minut Shabtai Tzvi Shem Reshaim Yerkav Amuvlat Betochol Beshikutzim V'Remazim En Mispar. Yeah, I didn't translate it, but you know, immediately I saw that the Minut of Shabtai Tzvi in it, and with many hints and Shikutzim, etc. So he immediately noticed, and it's not very difficult. There are poems by Natan Azati, I think there are other, the Messianic. If, you know, there's no, well, Natan Azati is explicitly mentioned there because it's his songs. But apart from that, there's no explicit mention of Shabtai Tzvi, but I think many hints, and the consensus among scholars that this is indeed a compilation based on earlier Kabbalistic sources, but with a Sabbateanist twist to them. So that is one source. But also Chagiz, although Chagiz, you know, Chagiz spoils my theory, but it's always good to have some challenge, because he was an opponent, very strong, fighting Chayun, and Ramchal also, I think. And so here, but he mentions that he learned about the custom from his grandfather. Now, his grandfather, at least for a period, was a Shabtai Tzvi enthusiast. So possibly he saw it from his grandfather and didn't know or didn't care that it had the Sabbateanist origins. So these are two, you know, early 18th century, Chemdat Yamim, definitely a Sabbateanist source, and the probability that Chagiz also learned it from his grandfather, who encountered it in the context of Sabbateanism. But the stronger evidence for the Sabbateanist origins or provenance is the fact that we know that it was celebrated by the Donme, by the followers of Shabtai Tzvi who converted to Islam. And here we have we have a lot of sources mentioning that. There's a list of Sabbatean holidays written by Avraham Miranda, important source. By the way, a lot found by Bnayahu, and that's why I published the article in Bnayahu's memorial volume. And I think he knew, by the way, I should give him credit. I think he mentioned that it's probably of Sabbateanist origin to Bishvat. There's a list of Sabbateanist holidays. And one of them is Tu Bishvat, Rosh Hashanah Ilan. From later periods, Shlomo Rosanes wrote that it was a holiday of the Donme. Avram Galante mentions evidence by Karakash Sabbatean. There are three different communities amongst the Donme, and he says that they celebrate Tu Bishvat, eating fruits that are presented on a round plate, and then there's prayers during the eating of the fruits. And there are several other sources, and I must say that's the new thing I have, actually a document written especially for me, I hadn't really looked too much at it, but last year, as I told you before we started recording, every year I'm called and summoned because of this small article to speak about in Tu Bishvat. There's a group of contemporary Sabbateans, descendants of the Sabbateans, of the Ma'aminim, of the Dolmeh. And they meet, they started organizing, I think in the corona period or the last few years, and they're meeting every week by Zoom. And very interesting. Well, they asked me to speak. I was very interested. I think it's interesting also this kind of revival and much interest in their heritage. And many of them, I don't think have, they know that they come from the Sabbatean families, but don't know much. But there are a few who still practice and are familiar with practices, and they have a description of a contemporary Seder Tu Bishvat, and it follows. It's interesting because I think it's Chemdat Yamin, but I think there's also some things from Chagiz who are not mentioned in, but I'm not sure. I should check exactly. And he gave also more Sabbatean, because in Chemdat Yamin, you don't have the Sabbatean explanations. And he gave the Sabbatean explanations, including, I think, the fruit with klipa, with the shell or without, relates to the Dolmeh under Islam. Without klipa is redeemed by Shabtai Tzvi. So they had also Dolmeh and Sabbatean explanations to the Seder Tu Bishvat. So that's something I can add. And it seems, I wondered if it was, well, I actually didn't believe that it was still practiced, but according to this, by the way, he didn't speak English. So he wrote it in, he described it in Turkish, and then someone translated it for me. So there is proof that it still celebrated, not only by New Age and other type of, in Israel and other circles, more traditional, but also by the Dolmeh.
I want to jump in for a second. First of all, about the Chemnes Yamim, one other thing, there's no mention of 3 weeks, famously, in the Arbeit HaMetzarim. There's no mention at all, which is a famous, obviously, Sabbatean thing. This episode will come out, Emet Hashem, before. There's an episode on Chemnes Yamim with Michiel Goldhaber, who wrote the article before yours in this volume, and to discuss it. Also on the Dolmeh, for the listeners, there it will be an episode of the podcast coming out in the series on them after this. So for those still curious about them, they can we mentioned enough that they can know, but I just want to point out for the listeners, it'll be in more in depth after. One other thing, so now you mentioned the Dolmeh, also in the article you discussed that there's some interesting songs that you have from them. Perhaps discuss those. Right.
And that actually started my interest. The songs are, there's several manuscripts of poems, Sabbatean Dolmeh poems, mostly in Ladino, in Turkish, in Hebrew script. And the first one was given to Ben Zvi, Yitzhak Ben Zvi, the president, second president, who was very much interested, and he had connections, very interesting, probably in the series on the Dolmeh, so we will hear more about it, fascinating stuff. And he received a manuscript, and he published it with Sholem and Atiyas. And there is a song, which is about Shabtai Tzvi and his return, and caught my eye, And among the verses, there's mention of names of fruits. And I don't think, even when I went, that I thought about it much, but what the hell the fruits are, doesn't. Then a few years, it's already, I think, about 20 years or something like that, but time passes. Yosef Fenton published an article on another booklet of Sabbatean songs, which was given to a professor from Harvard who taught at in Istanbul by one of his students. was a Don Mee, and he gave it to him, and it's now and it's found in Harvard library. And he didn't publish, but he wrote an article about it. And then he mentions that one of the songs is, the title is Cantidi Rosh Hashanah D'Ilan, a song for Rosh Hashanah D'Ilan. And that's the same song. And now it made sense. Okay. And there the song, I won't go over it, but it's in praise and hoping for for Shabtai Tzvi. And in the middle, it has the name of the fruits, which now it's clear that this is a song for Seder. It's actually the Seder. The song itself is the praise for Shabtai Tzvi and the eating of the fruit. And maybe just the last verse, which is nice in Ladino, it's Israel esperara este alegria. Israel hope for this happiness. A Shabtai Tzvi ki es los luz del dia. For Shabtai Tzvi, who is the light of days. I anos yevaremos in arbol de vida. He will bring us to the tree of life. Ai subida no ai maski kaida. There's only going up and there's no more going down. And that's the end of the song. So we think this is another or final proof of the Sabbatian context, at least of the Tu B'Shvat celebrations.
Fascinating. And something that you discuss at the end of the article, which is interesting, is so what is the actual connection between Shabtai Tzvi and a tree and Tu B'Shvat? Why is this such a big holiday by them?
Okay. So here the Messianic. First of all, the Tu B'Shvat Seder in Chemdat Yamim, so it's in the context of rectification, tikkun, pgama brit. But it doesn't deal only with that. It has also in the prayer that is brought there, there is a strong messianic significance, very similar to the one in the Don Mee song about Shabtai Tzvi bringing us to the tree of life. Okay, that's redemption, is getting back to the tree of life and leaving behind the tree of good and of knowledge. And maybe I'll cite the passage from the prayer, because I think for me that says it without mentioning Shabtai Tzvi, and says all the divine sparks that will be dispersed by us or by our forefathers and by the sin of Adam, who sinned by the fruit of the tree, may they return and be included in the power of the glory of the tree of life. And all may all be restored to its original strength, and no one will be banished, as Lord God alone gathered the dispersed of Israel. May you speedily cause the offspring of David, your servant, to flourish and lift his glory by your divine help. And his glory shall be lifted, and his kingdom shall be exalted over the entire world. Now, for me, this is, you know, this, if we think about the context, or without mentioning Shabtai Tzvi, I think that this messianic references definitely allude to him. And at the end, in Chemdat Yamim of the passage, it says, נכון הדבר לכוון לעץ הנחמד בין ישי חי על האדמה. So it is it's right to לכוון, to intend to the beautiful, nice, or I don't know how to translate, לעץ הנחמד בין ישי who lives on the earth. Okay, and here I think there's a reference of Shabtai Tzvi, of the Messiah arriving, and not just hoping for the Messiah arrival. And we know, by the way, of course, returning to the Tree of Life is a messianic trope, Kabbalistic messianic trope. And specifically, there are references. We find reference to Shabtai Tzvi in the song in the Don Mea, taking us back to the Tree of Life, but also sometimes he himself is called Ilan. What I think is probable is that there were some, you know, Rosh Hashanah Leilan and some customs relating before Sabbatianism to Tu B'Shvat, and with the tendency to innovate, and we know that new religious movement, and Sabbatianism at the time was a new religious movement, you know, they tend to create their own or to reinterpret reinterpret customs, invent some new customs. So I think that fit very well with their agenda and the identification of Shabtai Tzvi as the Ilan and one who redeems and rectify the sin of Adam, which was sinning by the tree. So I think all comes together and makes sense that they chose this, you know, peripheral date in the Jewish calendar and made it into a celebration.
I'll also add to that something that you mentioned in the article is that Ha'etz HaNechmad Ben Yishai Chalo Adama is Gematria Shabtai Tzvi. So you should understand that also
That's not me. I'm not, you know, I'm terrible in Gematria. I'm starting calculating, I'm getting arithmetic. What's his name? Levinsky, I think, in Sefer HaMoadim. But I wouldn't, you know, I think there's enough without, maybe, you know.
Right, and then you also...
I try in my academic work not to give Gematria as a proof because that's a slippery slope, you know, when you start with Gematrot, but maybe right.
No, sure.
It's Gematria Shabtai Tzvi, although with the Shtaim for the two Tevot, so it's, okay, maybe.
Right, now you also do end off, like you said, after Chemnes Yomim, the Sefer was pre-Eitz Hadar, which talked about Tu Bishvat. You end off the article that in 1859 it was printed, in addition where he wrote, I just read it because I think it's so interesting. If you find a fruit that's not good, get rid of the shell and eat the inside, which is like hinting at this. If there's some issues, just go with the good part.
Yeah, and I think that for me, that's, you know, I'm sure he knew what we know and what I suggest here. And for him, it was like, I think, okay, it's a nice custom. Why not? You know, and if there's something you don't like, so let's continue celebrating and ignore Shabtai Tzvi. And I think that's a good, recommendation.
As a final question, did you ever look into, I don't know, it's not in the article, any of the particular fruits that are eaten? For example, this big buckser, you know, carob, everyone eats that. It's like certain, that's like the traditional, there's like certain fruits that people end up, not exactly, but not like specifically that. Someone asked me, like, find out about that. There are certain, or is that just whatever was available once it became a holiday, they jumped it, they just ended up eating whatever?
Chemdat Yamim it mentions the names of the fruits. And it starts, and there is some kind of logic for it, I think, and also in the Donme, so they mention the names in Ladino and in Turkish, so there is, and I think many of them are still, but I didn't get into the later developments it's to eat.
Okay, now where can people find, like I said, find the article? For those who have the Benio volume, it's in the second volume, but is the original article or is the new volume article on your Academia page? Where can people...
Everything is on my Academia, EDU, and then if people look there, they can find some other stuff, which I really work on and not just as a hobby, but actually it was fun working on it. And it's fun that people are still interested, so that's...
Okay, so I'll try to link.
I think it's a small issue, but it's still interesting, and I think there's something to learn about it, about the developments of customs and.
Yeah, it's a short article.
And there's a lot of interesting things that are connected because the whole issue of Sabbatianism, as I'm sure, as I see, is fascinating. It's an interesting and an influential story, and still, you know, I was very much. I don't know if astonished, but interested to find out this new, it still lives on with this new group of Sabbatianists who I think in different than previous generations, they're not ashamed and they're trying, you know, they're not hiding it, not ashamed, but they are very open, very much interested. So, and I'm sure you and the listeners will hear more about it than I will be tempted to listen to that also.
Okay, thank you very much. And like I said, I'll link in these show's notes. People can check out. I'll link to the Academia, your Academia page, where the article, everyone can check out the article and read it.
Okay.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much, Nachi. Bye-bye.